أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. Continuing with our look at Islamic ethics and education and focusing on letter number 31 of Nahj al-Balagha, which Imam Ali al-Islam wrote to his son Imam Hassan al-Islam on the way back to Siffin. Let's continue. And this is the final parts of the letter. Imam says, وَعَلَمْ يَا بُنَيَّ أَنَّ الرِّزْقَ رِزْقَانِ. Know, O my child, that livelihood is of two kinds. رِزْقٌ تَطْلُبُهُ وَرِزْقٌ يَطْلُبُكُ. A livelihood that you seek and a livelihood that seeks you. فَإِنْ أَنْتَ لَمْ تَأْتِهِ أَتَاكُ. Which is such that if you don't reach it, it will come to you. And then he tells his son how ugly it is to belittle yourself for your needs. In other words, to bend down at the time of need. And then how bad it is to engage in justice when not in need. In other words, how awful it is that you're harsh when you have a time of riches. Then Imam tells him, you should have from this world only that which you can adorn your permanent abode with. If you cry over what has gone out of your hands, then also cry for what has not at all come to you. He says, O my son, infer about what has not yet happened from what has already happened, because occurrences are ever similar. Don't be like those whom preaching does not benefit unless you inflict pain on them, because the wise take instructions from teaching. It is only beasts or animals that learn only from being beaten. Then Imam tells him, O my son, ward off from yourself the onslaught of worries by firmness of endurance and purity of belief. He who gives up moderation commits excess. A companion, he says, a friend is like a relation. And then more about friends, saying a friend is he whose absence also proves the friendship. Passion is a partner of distress. Often near ones are remoter than distant ones. And often distant ones are nearer than those who are very near. He tells his son again, O my son, a stranger is one who has no friend. And then he says, my son, one who transgresses righteousness will be entangled. In other words, he will narrow his own passage. Let's look at these aspects that Imam has mentioned. Each one requires a little bit of pondering. First of all, about sustenance. Now, every creature requires, in order to survive, sustenance which is allocated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Hud, in Ayah 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقَهَا. There is no creature, no animal on the earth, but on Allah is its sustenance. And Allah provides the appropriate forms of sustenance. In Sermon 91 of Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the creatures are Allah's consumers of sustenance. Allah has guaranteed their daily bread and has provided each creature with sufficient sustenance. And remember, when we talk about human beings, we're talking about physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual sustenance. To understand the two types of sustenance that Imam is talking about, if we look elsewhere in Nahj al-Balagha, he says, Yabna Adam, O sons of Adam, arizqo rizqan. Same thing as he tells his son, sustenance is of two types, rizqun tatlibuhu wa rizqun yatlibuk. The sustenance that you look for and the one that comes to you. And he tells Yabna Adam, he tells all of us, do not add the worries and sorrows of another year to those of this year. Therefore, the management of the day's problem will be enough for that day. If the next year is part of your life, you will definitely receive necessary sustenance. If it is not considered amongst the days of your life, why are you wasting your time worrying about it? Be aware that nobody will receive your daily sustenance. Anything which is predetermined for you will always be yours. In another place, Imam says, Ya ibn Adam, O sons of Adam, لا تحمل هم يومك الذي يأتيك على يومك الذي قد أتاك فإنه إن يقوم من عمرك يأتي الله فيه يرزق. Do not add the worries about gaining future sustenance on the worries of the present, because if you are destined to live, you will also receive your sustenance. If you're not supposed to live, why are you wasting your time on worrying about it? Now, it doesn't say don't manage your affairs, don't save, don't look after it, but worrying about it only increases a wastage of time. Let's look at some, you know, some examples which are cited by the commentator of Nahjul Balagha, Ibn al-Hadid. He says that there was one Imad al-Dawla al-Hassan al-Buya who, after defeating Ibn Yaqut, entered Shiraz. This was in Iran, and he needed a lot of money. Now, on his way there, one of his horse's leg was caught in a hole, and he had to dismount the horse. His servants made the got the horse's leg free, and suddenly, as they were trying to move away the earth to free the horse's leg, making a bigger hole, they found that it just gave way. And he ordered his men to dig up the place, and there they found the great treasures of Ibn Yaqut, who had hidden them there. So Allah provides a sustenance. There are many, many incidents in life. If you find, you look back, how we have wanted something, the intention is right, you don't know where it comes from, and suddenly it's there, it's met. I'm not saying don't put in the effort, definitely. Do your best, and then leave it up to Him. Don't spend time and time worrying about it, or in long hopes and wishing about it. Then Imam tells his son that it is so improper to be groveling in times of need, and on the other hand, be indifferent when one does not need. You know, if you look at Surah Yunus, right, Surah number 10, ayah 22 and 23, let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, huwa alladhi sawirukum fil ba'ri wal bahri hatta idha kuntum fil fulki wajana bihim birih. بِرِيحٍ طَيِّبَةٍ وَفَرِحُوا بِهَا جَاءَتْهَا رِيحٌ عَاصِفٌ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ أُحِيطَ بِهِمْ دَعَوُا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ لَئِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ إِذَا هُمْ يَبْغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. It is He who makes you travel by land and sea, until when you're in the ships and they sail on with them in a pleasant breeze, and they rejoice, and then a violent wind overtakes them and the billows surge in on them from all sides, and they become certain that they're encompassed in it. They pray to Allah, being sincere to Him in obedience. If you deliver us from this, we will most certainly be of the grateful ones. But when He does deliver them, lo, they're unjustly rebellious in the earth. Same thing in Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah number 29, ayah 65. Allah says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوْا اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. So when they ride in the ships, they call upon Allah, being sincerely obedient to Him. But when He brings them safe to the land, lo, they associate others with Him. So here, Imam is making very clear to his son that when you need, you grovel. And that's not talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's talking about other human beings. And then when you don't need, you're indifferent to them. That's not something that is acceptable at all. In other places, Imam Ali al-Islam says there are two traits which do not suit a righteous person. Pride due to needlessness and agony because of poverty. So when you become needlessness, do not become proud and haughty. And when you become needful, consider the world less important than it really is. Going up on, Imam tells him that what is in this world, go for what is in this world which could rebuild your hereafter. That means always look at the macro picture. Always look further than your nose. Again, let's look at the Quran. Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, ayah 96 and 97. Allah says, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَضُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. What is with you passes away. What is with Allah is enduring, and we will most certainly give to those who are patient and their reward for the best of what they did. And then he continues in ayah 97 to say, whoever does good, whether male or female, and is a believer, we will make them live hayatan tayyiba. I can't describe tayyiba. A happy, a pure life, and we will most certainly give them their reward for the best of what they did. So it is Jannah on earth and Jannah in the hereafter. And we look in Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18. Most of us, when we work in life, we tend to work for either wealth or children. And Allah says, Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayat al-dunya. Wealth and children are the adornment of the life of the world. Wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun inda rabbika. And the ever-abiding, the good works, are better with your Rabb. Thawaban wa khayrun amala, in reward and better in expectation. That means when you do look after your children, when you do strive for your wealth, know for what reason. For your children, you must have a goal. Know that you wish to see them in Jannah, and hopefully they'll take you with them. So everything must build around that. For your wealth, know, make Allah a business partner in your wealth. Spend in His way, and see the difference it makes to life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, from your wealth nothing is left except that part which you ate and disappeared, or you put in on and now is worn out, or you gave away in charity, which will remain." He also said, "Idha mata ibnu Adam in qata'a maluhu illa an thalath." When one dies, he will be disassociated of everything except for three things: sadaqatun jari'a, current charity, you know, the charity that works, that you do for people, books, hospital, roads, mosques, etc. Ilmu yantafa'u bihi, the knowledge and science from which people can benefit. Wa waladun salihun yad'u lahu, and the righteous child who will pray for him. Three things. Look what Imam says. Sorry, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. I'd repeat again. Sadaqatun jari'a. Current charity that is current, that will, you know, that will live for you. You contributed one book to a school. For as long as somebody learned from that book, that becomes sadaqatun jariya. You dug a well for someone. As long as people will drink from that water, it becomes sadaqatun jariya. The second thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ilmun yantafa'u bihi, the knowledge from which people could benefit. The recipe that you taught someone, something that you made somebody's life easier, that you made their souls at peace, whatever. Kind words, good words are all knowledge because they make a difference to somebody's life. And وَوَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُ لَهُ, and the child that will raise his hands and pray for you. Imam Ali al-Islam, the same theme in Nahj al-Balagha elsewhere, says that, you know, he gives a difference between two actions. He says, "Shaitani ma bayna amalain, amalun tadhhabu ladhatahu wa tabqa tabi'atuhu, wa amalun tadhhabu mu'natuhu wa yabqa ajruhu." An action the pleasure of which goes away but its consequences remain, and an action whose trouble goes away but its reward remains. So he tells his son in this letter, you know, from this world you will get as much as could correct your hereafter. In other words, that will benefit your hereafter. He tells his son, don't worry over past events. It's gone. Sort it out, but don't dwell on it. If you keep on saying that I wish it had not happened because it did happen and because it happened I'm like this, you're never going to move forward. Sort it out in your mind. If it can be sorted, if you can deal with it in a way where you can address it. If you can't, leave it up to him and move forward. That is why Imam tells in this letter, وَإِن كُنْتَ جَازِئًا مَا تَقَلَّتَ مِنْ يَدَيْكَ فَأَخْرَجْ عَلَى قُلِّ مَا لَمْ يَسِلَ إِلَيْكَ. If you have to worry over what you have already lost, be worried over the things you have not received yet. Look forward. Then Imam tells him to base his reasoning on future actions on the events of the past. History is a good teacher. He says people in the past are good lessons for the future people, because every action has the same reaction. He says, accept and confirm what you see in the Quran of the life of people of the past. Take your lessons from the events of the past. This is because some of the events of the past are similar to others, and its end combines with the beginning. But all of it is transient and unstable. If you don't take lessons from it, there is no point of putting stories there. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put history in the Quran for us to listen? He tells his son, the wise listen to advice through good manners. In other words, they learn through teaching, while it's animals who do it through punishment. It's absolutely, you know, clear. You don't have to put your finger in a blender to know what happens when you put your finger in it. You can learn. It's very simple. There are poets who say education to an unworthy person is like a nut on the dome. There are other sayings which say the rain, which is unanimously believed to be delicate in the garden, it causes tulips to grow, but in the salt marsh it causes thorns to grow. He tells his son, avoid worries and sorrows through patience and real conviction. I repeat again, do your best, then trust in him and see the difference it makes. He tells his son, putting aside moderation is injustice, and it deviates you from righteousness. So be moderate. On his deathbed, Imam Ali alayhi salam told his son, my son, اقتصد يا بني في معشيتك واقتصد في عبادتك. Be moderate in your livelihood and be moderate in your worship. Extremism is not part of Islam. وصاحب المناسب, he said, a companion is like a relative. There's a wonderful saying which says, and I just love it. It says, friends are one soul in different bodies. And we find in this letter, Imam tells his son a lot about friendship. They're amazing. And let me just quote a few of the traits that Imam talks about, which one should find in one's friend. Or more appropriately, be when one is a friend. He tells his son, associate with one whose association is good for you. If you are at his service, he should protect you. If you ask him for help, he should help you. If you utter something, he should confirm you. If you attacked an enemy, he should strengthen you. If you asked him for financial help, he should help you. If there is a weak point in your work, he should make it up for you. If you did a good deed, he should acknowledge it. If you asked him for anything, he should provide you with it. If you are silent in this act, he should volunteer to help you. If anything terrible happens to you, you should get upset. He should be the one who doesn't hurt you. He should help you at hard times. He should give you priority if there is a quarrel between you two. And I would be doing injustice if I wouldn't mention the friends I have. They're absolutely amazing. There is no way I could survive without them. And for them, I'd like to just read something. And I pray that I can be a friend to them as they are to me. In my du'as, I ask for those who would mirror my heart, share my beliefs, help me reach out to him, clarify my vision, listen to the sound of Allah's words with me. My rainbow when life needed color. Allah promises an answer for every du'a. I searched each day. I tested each heart that I met. Impatient I became, so I persisted in my du'as. And then I met my friends, and I asked, is this the answer to my du'as? They were. My friends are more blessed than I could ever ask. They are more wonderful than I could have pictured. They are the perfect answer to my du'as. All I can do now is his hamd for giving me the opportunity to know them. No amount of sajdas of shukr suffice. And all I can do is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his rahmah on them and their families forevermore. For his son, Imam says, a true friend is the one who respects you in your absence. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when giving the advice to Muhammad ibn Muslim and his companion, said, respect your friend in his absence and when he's not around. Imam Ali emphasizes the same principle, a true friend is the one whose heart is sincere to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a man is not one's friend unless he will not forget his friend in three cases, when everybody is against him, when he is absent, and after his death. It's so amazing. Then Imam continues to tell him that sensuality or passion is like blindness. It just, you cannot see anything apart from it. So be careful. Other places he says, one who follows his sensuality will be blind and dumb. It'll destroy your hereafter and it'll make you miserly. Again on friendship, he tells his son, a stranger is one who doesn't have any friends. And that's so true. Remember, you can only get friends when you are a friend. So be a friend. Take the advice from this letter and be a friend and see the difference it makes to your life. And finally, in this section, he says, an aggressor to the truth will meet hurdles, will find his path narrowed. And that's so self-explanatory. Remember, the truth will never change. We could bang our head against it like we bang it against a wall. The head will break, but the wall will not break. Quran, if you look at Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَكِّ لِلْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَقُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ. We cast the truth against falsehood so that it breaks its head, and lo, it vanishes. Elsewhere in Najr Balagha, Imam says, anybody who rises against the truth will be destroyed. If you fight against truth, you will be defeated. He says, little truth will defeat much falsehood in the same way that fire burns a lot of firewood. So many places that we find this. We can do absolutely anything, but the truth will remain the truth. It will not change. Inshallah, we will continue and probably finish the sermon tomorrow.